Buck, it's been all Tennessee and the big mess on Rocky Top so far this morning. Did you get to either see the press conference or hear it?
You know, I got a little bit of piece of it, Bill. But, you know, it's funny. Kevin Steele, right? Kevin Steele has talked his way into something over there potentially, or is he part of the faction that's gone? Because I didn't see that part.
No. He was. Yeah. We haven't even gotten into that, but he is. They don't call him interim. They called him the acting head coach for now.
I'm gonna just say this, man. That guy knows how to talk his way into stuff, doesn't he? Whoever his agent is and his mouthpiece gets him into things that he needs, right? So if you want to learn how to not always have the greatest production as a head coach, he's been very good as a defensive coordinator. But as a head coach, and he's going to look like he's in line right now for Tennessee unless they have some things to change. Man, it's just, I feel bad for the Tennessee folks, but then again, some of these things are just starting to happen. You got to kind of figure out how you can settle on a good coach and an AD and get things moving in the right direction. You know, so there'll be enough people that'll pile on Tennessee, and I'm not going to do that today because I've always said this about programs that I didn't go to, but guys that I like that come from those programs. I can remember, you know, years and years and years, stacked upon stacked years of guys that came out of Tennessee that were good dudes and could play ball. And, you know, I don't think we're seeing that consistently now at Tennessee, and I think that's the biggest thing for them. How do you get back to building a program and a culture when the SEC has really started to expand? You got Alabama better. You got, you know, A&M that's playing some better football. Looks like their program is heading in the right direction. You got Georgia that's really playing some good football other than at the quarterback position. Now they've settled on, you know, JT Daniel. You got Florida with Dan Mullen. You got some programs now in the SEC that are starting to go. That's just a few of them. And you're trying to get your footing, and it's going to take some time now. So I'm just interested to see how they're going to be able to build that and get the foundation going so the Tennessee faithful can get back to, you know, 115,000 plus when we're able to get back in the games and that kind of mass.
Buck, we'll kind of go around the horn here. Buckeyes get some news Monday. Chris Olave, receiver, Jimmy Rucker, tight end, who really came on for them, both announced they're coming back. They'll have to break in a new quarterback, but that's good news for them.
That's real good news. And it's one of those things that they had been talking about Rucker all year. I've kind of been waiting for him to shine. And, man, you know, he got in a position to make plays. You could tell the difference in that offense also when Olave was out as opposed to being in. I think that's good. That's great for Ohio State for two reasons. You've got a deep threat that can threaten people down the field, and you've got a big tight end that's physical and can block, but also shows in the pass game that he's more than capable if you throw him the football. So Ryan Day has a couple of weapons that he can rely on that offense, and I think that's the thing you want to have no matter who the quarterback, whether it was Justin Fields now that he's gone to the next level or whoever wins that quarterback position.
Charles Arbuckle joins us every Tuesday, and Buck, since we talked to you last Tuesday, Urban Meyer made a decision. He's moving to Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida, to head up that organization. Your thoughts on the old college guy going to the pro game?
You know, Bill, it's interesting. I think we are more accepting of it now because it seems like some of the principles in the NFL have changed. And I think, you know, you can say, you know, you can look at Pete Carroll as being the guy that kind of broke the barrier, so to speak. But here lately, we started to see it, right? I mean, Cliff Kingsbury has had some decent success in Arizona, you know, a former college coach. And then also think about this. Wasn't it amazing to watch Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, two guys that were in his quarterback room at one time, both at Texas Tech? So our game in the NFL has really started to morph, and you're seeing more of the RPO's own read principles, although look at what happened to Patrick Mahomes when he's getting out there running an option. You don't want your quarterback and have a bad throw running an option and supposedly having the nerve nerve damage in his neck. I've been around football a long time. I've seen a lot of guys that have stingers and nerve issues. That looked like a concussion to me, so that's all I know.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, I think the game has changed. And think about all the pros that Urban Meyer put out from Ohio State and Florida. So he probably, you know, I think after he didn't look at any of the college jobs, I'm not shocked at all. I mean, I think it was just a foregone conclusion. You know, if his health was right, if everything was set up right for him, and if he can get the right coaches that know the pro game and understand how to coach some of these young guys that are sometimes not quite developed when they get to the pros, that's where he's going to have an advantage, because he's been there. He's been talking to Nick Saban. He's been talking. Anytime he has big-time coaches on his campus, and now that he's out and he's able to go visit, I'm sure he's been with Belichick. I'm sure he's been with Saban. I'm sure he's been all over the country just having conversations at the college level, but at the pro level as well, just to kind of keep his mind sharp. And that's how you succeed. That's how you get to that next level. Now, can he develop players for the pros? Can he coach quite the way he did in college? Probably not. But that's going to be an interesting thing to see, because Jacksonville has had a terrible culture, and supposedly that's something that he can do well. And I said supposedly because we've seen him do it in college, but can he do it at the next level? And that's what's going to be interesting to see. Just think about this, Bill. Bill O'Brien had a really nice chance to take Houston, the Texans, to another area. There's been so much that has been done, the trade that he made, some of the front office moves. Look how quickly Houston eroded and went the other way. That can happen quickly in the pros. In college, you can tell a guy, and they can go to the transfer portal maybe, but you've got so many five stars, you've got a cachet of guys. If you do certain things in the pros and it doesn't work the way you want it to, or guys don't buy into your program, it can be a lot tougher. And you can say, yeah, just we'll trade for another person. Yeah, but you can trade, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the next best guy, and then you got the salary cap. So it's going to be some things he's going to have to do to flex his style at that next level, make sure he has guys on staff that can coach and understand the pro game. But I think we've seen this morphing of the NFL and college football over the last few years, and you can see it coming to fruition. And I'm interested to see the Urban Meyer experience down in Jacksonville.
Buck played his high school ball in Houston, so he knows what it's like to be a recruit when you've got schools like UCLA recruiting him, but Texas A&M. My question, Buck, do you think Sark can get Texas to where the high school kids in that state now value them like Texas feels like they should?
I think the one thing that Texas, and this is the reason why I think the University of Texas, Chris Del Conte, and all of those faithful there have kind of pitched their wagon to Clark, so to speak, is because of the quarterback position, right?
Yeah.
You think about Texas, since Colt McCoy, it really hasn't been, I mean, you know, Sam Ellinger, let's give Sam some credit, he's, you know, taking the program, but they've lost a lot of Texas kids that could play quarterback. So I think that's the one thing that you have to do. You know, you had guys like Colt, you had guys like Vince. That's why Mac was able to win with success. Once he lost those kind of players, it changed. In the state of Texas, there are really good high school quarterbacks, but they weren't necessarily choosing the University of Texas. I think that's the one thing. The other thing is, does he have boots on the ground in Houston? You got to be in Houston strong at the University of Texas. You got to be in Dallas, Fort Worth. You got to be in East Texas, where Earl Campbell and all those great players come from, far East Texas in the country. And then you better be able to recruit West Texas. Get some kids out of Midland, Odessa, and Lubbock that want to stay in the state. A lot of those kids now are starting to like Texas Tech and stay in those areas. You got to get the best players out of there that are the best projectable players as well. And for so long, Texas has gotten a lot of guys that look the part, but they don't play the part. And I think you're starting to see that change. So that's going to be the real key with a team like A&M, with all these other schools that are coming in. Nick can come in whenever he wants. You got California schools. You got schools from the ACC. You got everybody that are getting down into Texas, pulling some of those 4- and 5-star guys out that are the better players. Texas has to figure out how to keep them there and make them really great players. It's funny, you brought this up. I was just talking to O.C. Oliver. And Jared Oliver, his brother, and I was at Willow Ridge together, but OC went to Clements and went to Colorado. And he was saying the same thing about Colorado, how they're going to have to get better now at the program, getting Texas kids. 2 months ago, Roger Thomas and I had the same conversation. All these schools know that Texas has great kids, but it's funny that the guys that I know, and at that time, we left the state of Texas because Texas wasn't where it needed to be. Still was performing pretty well, but you just think about it. If you're not playing at a high level, or you have the Southwest Conference, which was eroding and imploding on itself, that's why a lot of us left. You've got to find a way to make Texas a flagship school, and Sark has to do that. But it has to start with a quarterback, and you got to stay with that offensive line. That offensive line has been bad for a number of years, and now they're starting to get better. If you can do that and build around that, the Thompson kid, Charles Thompson's kid, looks really, really good, right? Who are you going to put in front of him? Are you going to get receivers that can make plays consistently? That, to me, is the key for Texas, and I think Sark has shown as an offensive coordinator he can do it. I'm just not so sure he's able to do it as a head coach. He hadn't showed it consistently at a high level. But in Texas, you've got all the resources and the riches on the 40 acres, man.
Buck, always good, sir. See you next week.
All right, man. You have a good one. Take care.
There you go. Mr. Charles Arbuckle joins us Tuesdays. Gator Dave at the top. Griff a little bit later. We're coming right back. Oh, yeah. The Tennessee thing ain't done. Lots of comments about that. 615-844-5600. Omni Nashville Hotel.